Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Wow, where did January go? It seems like we were just talking about the holidays, and it's like, bam, we're down a month already. And Mother Nature, don't know about where you are, but dumped on us a little bit this week, and now is bringing in the cold weather, and that's going to bring around some ice fishing. And Barbecue Bob is on hiatus this week. He's out and about. So I brought in as a co-host the Baritone of Beer, our favorite brewer from Schmo's Brewery. It's Chaz. How are you, brother?
Morning, Jop. Yeah, I'm loving this weather, man.
Yeah, I know.
Sub-zero temperatures making ice.
That's right. It's that makes those lakes full-figured friendly for a guy like me that wants to get out there and maybe wet a line. I'm not the first guy out every year, man.
You know, I was out poking out last week, and last weekend, right after I listened to the show, I shot out onto Reed's Lake because people had given me a promise.
Okay.
One spud throw went right through.
Ooh.
And I looked at the guy that was with me, and I says, John, what do you think? He says, I think McEwen Lake.
So right.
He changed lakes.
Exactly. That, you know, first and foremost, it's one of our fun things to do in the winter is ice fish, but first and foremost is safety, right?
Yeah, I always take a partner with me, and as I'm walking out, as you know, you've heard me say a million times, spud your way out. Make
right.
sure that ice is sound. You don't want any surprises.
No, and I live by the creed this time of year that there's not a fish on earth worth swimming for, right?
No.
Not in icy water or any time really. But so it's just one of those things. But what'd you do this week? Did you cook anything, man?
I got some fish last weekend, so
okay.
I threw those out on the cast iron griddle on the it warmed up on Wednesday.
Okay.
And so I could get out there between the raindrops
right.
and do a little fish taco
oh,
on the grill.
Okay.
I
so
I like to put a tortilla down on the griddle and then do some fish up with a little garlic oil and then put it in tortilla and a little.
So these are fillets, right?
Yeah.
Yep. And you probably use crappie?
Crappie. Yep. I had some crappie from the weekend that hadn't even been froze yet.
Really?
So, well, it might have froze on the ice.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
After I filleted, it was fresh. So
yeah.
That was absolutely delightful.
So this griddle, are you've got the lid up when you're cooking it, or is that
yep,
a lid down
thing?
I got
the lid up because I've got all the mass of that cast iron.
Okay.
Retaining heat there. So I've got a great indirect source. I put a little thing of oil and some minced garlic over on the side. I can just tip my spatula with that, put down a fillet or two.
Mm-hmm.
Just over easy, and then bust it up a little bit, put it in a warm tortilla, and a little pico de gallo on top.
Ooh.
You don't even need plates.
Right.
No forks,
yeah, yeah.
Nothing.
Stand right there. This is man food from the grill, man. You just throw it in your hand, roll it up, and eat it, right?
Yeah. A couple of us just stood there talking about some ice fishing and our plans for this coming weekend.
Right, yeah. So, Chaz, in years past, you've traveled around the country with the USA ice fishing team. I understand they're out now. We'll touch on that a little bit later in the show,
yep.
But we're being represented again this
oh,
year.
Oh, yeah, the it's boys just, are in Bulgaria.
Yeah, right, so that'll be kind of cool. Well, I tell you, Barbecue Bob and I talked last week at the show that this past Monday we had to cook 350 pounds of prime rib for our group of men at church, right? There's our annual men's night that we do a steak fry. Well, it's turned into a chunk of prime rib fry. And Bob has that big rotisserie smoker that he uses. And Bob gets all the credit for cooking, right? I worked all day and just came to slice meat. But we had 20 full prime rib roasts with the ribs on them. And what Bob had done is he had taken the ribs off them and then cook the ribs separate from the roast. And he's got this American Barbecue Systems rotisserie smoker. It's on a trailer. The thing's a beast, right? And we had all 20 roasts on there, plus all of those rib bones. And obviously the bones got done first. But he was pouring the charcoal to this thing, man. He had this thing red hot and going, and we could get it to about 270 degrees. That Monday night, it was 8 outside when we were pulling these things off, and it got up to like 12 that day. And he gave these roasts. Normally, he'd do those in about 3 hours. He gave them 5, and we were still an hour late getting the food to everybody. Now, they were done, and they were done well, thanks to Sobey Meats, our purveyor of fine beef products. Sobey's put together these beautiful roasts. They were all seasoned with Tim's blend, came that way. So we served rib bones, and then we served big cuts of prime rib.
Hey, a little right? Fred Flintstone appetizer isn't a bad thing at all.
They were delicious, and that seasoning that you get over there at Sobey Meats is so wonderful. It's kind of it's a garlic and onion, dried onion, and it's got a little bit of everything in it, salt and pepper, obviously, sure. But it just made a really good rub for those big old Flintstone ribs. You know, they're not as big around as your wrist, but they're close, right?
Yeah.
If you got a wimpy wrist, right? Anyway.
Well, they're probably big around as a beer bottle.
Yeah, exactly. And they're covered with meat. And so we were slicing those up and giving, you know, guys if they wanted one of those with a hunk of prime rib. But he'd take those roasts out, and he took them to about 135 in the center. And you get near the middle, you know, they're long. They're 15, 18 inches long and probably 20 pounds a piece. I think he said he had 350 pounds across 20 of them. So doing the math, what, that's 15 pounds a piece,
yeah,
maybe.
About.
So these were big, solid roasts. He took them out of the smoker hole, and I'm cutting them, right? And the guys are ready to eat. We've already had to push it because that cold weather couldn't get them done, man, even though we allowed extra time. So I'm taking with a couple heavy rubber gloves, right? Double, tripled my right hand because I saw with my left, right? And I put my hand on there to hold that roast, and you start cutting steaks off that thing. By the end of the night, my palm of my hand was bright red, and I really had very little feeling in it for a day or two after we got done because you're putting that on that 100 on the outside. It's like 160, 170 to get the 130 on the inside, but – I just didn't want to use a heavier, thicker glove. And you get those silicone ones.
Yeah.
They're slippery, right?
Yeah, I found that problem myself with those. Yeah. They're all right for quick grab out of the smoker and stuff.
Right.
But you're right. When you're slicing, you need something a little more tangible.
Right. And I had, you know, you're gripping that knife blade, and I'm using, you know, the big 12-inch slicing knife. And you've got to, you know, if it's sharp, by the end it wasn't, but when I, you know, I'm a firm believer in really sharp knives. You never cut anybody with a sharp knife, right? But anyway, it was 3 or 4 slices across that roast, and you had a slab of that off of there, right? And then I had a meat man that every time I'd drop one, he'd put it in a pan, and I'd just keep slicing, man, because those roasts were coming at me like wildfire. But anyway.
It sounds like I got to join your men's group.
Oh, yeah. It was. We had 300 guys there, man. It was kind of cool. But anyway, they all got fed, and we all had a great time. So that was my cooking excursion for the week, and I threw a couple little things on the grill. But,
sure,
you know that's it. But you know the thing about the church thing is there's not a lot of microbrew beer with it, right?
Well,
there's root beer floats at the end, and
good thing I make the root beer too.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a good thing. It was a really good thing. So. Later in the show, let's talk a little bit about beer. This is your world. You're a professional. What is that? Brewer? There's a term that I'm missing.
Well, they call me beer engineer.
There we go. That's what I knew there was one I was missing. But the beer engineer will bestow upon us a little bit of knowledge because to this day, as long as I've been doing this, when I walk up to the cooler counter, right where all those doors are, I'm still a lot of the time just looking at pretty pictures, man. I really don't know where I'm at. So we're going to take you down the road and give you a little exercise on your beer know-how. So, Chaz, tune up. Here we go, brother, because we're gonna test you a little bit.
I brought my bottle opener.
But you know what? There you go. That's all we need to know. And it looks like we're going to be drinking a little Schmoe's My Hands, and we're going to talk to you about that. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com. Look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We appreciate you tuning in. And we've got a little treat this week. I've got the Baritone of Beer, Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery coming in. And we're going to talk a little bit right now about exercising your beer know-how. I have the very good fortune of being exposed to a lot of brewers and a lot of beer people that have taught me a tremendous amount about microbrewed. If you're a new listener to the show, I'm admitted that I used to be a Labatt Blue guy. Now I can't get it past my lips because I've grown my palate to understand a little bit more about microbrewed beer. It's the rage all over Michigan and all over the country right now. Breweries popping up everywhere, and they all seem to want to do something unique and different, which you may or may not understand. So, Chaz, what I'd like you to do is let's create some categories of beer and then maybe talk a little bit about their nature. Are they bitter? Are they sweet? Are they hoppy? Are they not? And then we'll finish maybe with some food. And if we get through all of that, we'll be good. If we don't, we'll do it.
We'll call it a win.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, where I usually start with that is that, you know, a lot of people, they're going to come off the Labatt Blue, Miller Lite, Bud, the BMC trail, we call it.
Right.
And, you know, they're not used to big flavors in their beer. So they can come to a brewery, and quite often a brewery has a Pilsner, a cream ale, something on that lighter side that they can use to kind of step through the looking glass and get into the craft beer world. So really the breweries have learned that we have to have something for everybody.
Right.
So that's your first level. And that's going to be a little more body. It's going to have a little more flavor, but it's not going to be too strange for you.
Right.
As you step up in the categories, you're going to talk about ambers.
Okay.
And then into browns. And those are going to be malt forward. And we know in the past, with taste testing, that you're a malt forward kind of guy.
I am.
You like those and kind of stay away from the hoppiness. All of them have hops.
Right.
Hops are the preservative that we utilize in them. But if it's malt forward, the malt flavors come out first. So ambers and browns are in that category. And if you want to get bigger and more mouthfeel and more flavor on that side of the world, you can step into porters and then to stouts. And
still on that malt forward side.
Still on that malt forward side where it's not the really in-your-face kind of hop bitterness and aromas and flavors and stuff.
So before we get there, let's step back. If you're just tuning in, this is the Grilling Guys. We're talking with Chaz Thompson from Schmoe's Brewery, but he's truly a beer engineer. And today, let's go back to beer 101. There's water, there's malt, and what else in a typical
hops.
Right?
And yeast.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Now, unless you start funking around with some different things with fruits or different honey or something else in it, but right. That's the basis. Now, malt, that's going to be typically barley, and they're going to put it through a process called malting where they start to germinate it, and then they kill it. And what that does is prepare the grain to have the enzymes and the starches ready to convert to make the sugar that we're going to later translate into alcohol.
Right. So we've got this grain to break down. We harvest it, the sugar out of it, and then we distill the sugar down till it becomes...
Well, we boil it to right. do what we refer to in the cooking world as the Maillard effect.
Okay.
It's like browning gravy. What it's doing is breaking down complex sugars into simple sugars that the yeast can digest.
Okay.
And so the boil serves as that purpose, as well as our step of sterilization, because this was dirty grain. I mean, it's been traveling in a bag on right. a truck. There's nothing sterile about it until we boil it.
Right.
And so now we've got a boil going on. That's going to kill off anything else. And at that point, we're going to start to introduce our preservative, hops. And they're okay. a flower that grows on a vine. In the summer, you can come to Schmoe's and you'll see them growing right over our beer garden. It's kind of right. cool. But, you know, they're coming to Michigan, and wherever you drive, it seems like you're passing a hop farm. And you'll
if you know what you're looking for, which is what?
Big telephone poles sticking up with wires in between them. And these vines that are growing up to them, sometimes 30, 35 feet tall.
Right. And it's one plant that winds its way up this wire or string or whatever it is. But usually near the top, there are a bunch of blossoms.
Actually, it's all the way up.
Is it?
It goes all the way up. We'll have to go to a hop farm this summer.
Right.
And,
well, for those that haven't seen it.
But, yeah, they grow all the way up. And you can see them in the beer garden. And about the end of August, you start to see those and smell those, and they get the real rich hop aroma coming out on them. We're in Cascade, Michigan, so we grow Cascade hops over our garden.
Imagine that.
And early September, it's time to harvest. And all you need are the little flowers, the little blooms. You pick those off, and during the boil, we're going to extract the oils from those.
Okay.
That's the antimicrobial part that's going to be the preservative to beer in the first hopping. The second hopping, about halfway through the boil, is the one that we put in for flavor or bittering. And depending on how much you put in, depends on how bitter it's going to be.
Right.
Then the final stage during the boil is what we refer to as aroma hopping. And those are the ones that are going to be in there. They're not going to act as much as a preservative, but they're the advertising because you smell it.
Right.
And the wonderful. Now, you can take a further step in latent fermentation, do some dry hopping to kick more aroma in, but that's where the hops play into it.
Right.
And then after we boil, we're going to cool that down, send it over into a sterile environment with some yeast. We have to cool it down so we don't kill the yeast. And then we let the yeast consume the sugars and produce alcohol.
Right. And that's where that mixture, this is where the engineering comes in. Okay, because if you followed all of that, which you probably didn't, what it tells me is that this isn't just throwing some stuff in a pot and making a bunch of beer. Well, there's a bunch of science that's involved with this.
I like to tease our friend Brian from down in Finn Valley. You
know, right.
And say, so, farmer, what are you up to?
Right.
Basically, because they get what comes out of the grapes that year, and they do some blending and things like that. But in beer, we take a mixture of grains. How they're roasted, toasted, baked, boiled, whatever, to give them flavors. Blend those together. Then we blend in the hops, and we do different times and temperatures and a specific yeast for time and temperature to produce a specific beer. So we really engineer or build the beer.
Right. So if I'm going back to the consumer, we're going to touch on this in the next segment because we haven't even scratched the surface yet on this. But as I walk up to my craft beer merchant, and there are literally hundreds of different bottles of beer. I think of Siciliano's Market on the west side of Grand Rapids, where I don't think they know how many beers they really have, but it's in the hundreds of beers, varieties that they have. And it is just very, very overwhelming to try to determine what you want to buy. And so in the next segment, Chaz, I want to talk about more of the styles of beer. And but I also want to know, let's give the listener, what are the three or four questions they need to be able to answer so that somebody at a place like Siciliano's can drive you to the right style of beer. So is that something we can do?
We can do that. I got an excellent way.
All right. Very good. I knew you would have. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We're going to continue down this little beer path, and we might even crack one in the next segment.
We better.
All right. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hi, this is Sal Cipriano, CEO of Better Made Snack Foods. Ever wonder why our Better Made potato chips taste so good? They're made with homegrown potatoes from West Michigan farms. So when you're driving to the beach, a festival, or a ballpark, and you pass by those farms, think of Better Made potato chips. Better yet, stop by your favorite grocer or convenience store and pick up a bag for the trip. For nearly 90 years, Better Made Snack Foods are Better Made.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker. Even if it's cold, that don't matter. Get out there and maybe even open a microbrewed beer, because that's what we're covering today, man. It's all about microbrewed beers. It's this time we do this every a couple times a year, where we'll bring in the beer engineer. That's Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery. And Schmoe's has been with us for many, many years as a sponsor of the Grilling Guys, and we truly appreciate that. So from time to time, we draw on their expertise.
I'm just happy to come in and drink with you.
Yeah, I understand. And I'm happy because you brought the beer.
Yeah.
So you know what? This is a match made in heaven, baby.
So we were covering some styles.
Right.
Kind of to transition along through that, we got through the malt forward stuff, and then there's the happy crossroads, the okay. middle of the pack.
Okay.
That is one of my favorite beers at Schmoe's. It's Treasure Chest ESB.
Okay.
Extra special bitters. It's Everybody hears extra special bitters and thinks, ooh, it's going to be terribly bitter. Actually, it's not. Okay. It is where malt and hops cross.
Okay.
And they're balanced together. And the best ESBs, you can distinguish the hops and you can distinguish the malt, but they're equal. And so you get a very nice caramel flavor, but you still get a little hop character.
And isn't that extra special? Is that an English term, which means?
Not bitter.
Not bitter, right? Yeah. So you've got your extra special bitter. It's a contradiction in terms, right?
Right.
But just remember that, because that's how I remember it, is extra special means less, not more.
Right.
Right.
And it's just an English thing. And
right.
Because so much of our brewing heritage came out of Europe, that's where we went.
Sure.
The next step to migrate along would be into the pale ales.
Okay.
And that's where we start getting hop forward.
Mm-hmm.
As you get into those hops, it's going to give a little bit more bitiness. It's going to give a little bit more floral nature to it. It could be a dry hop, a piney hop. There's 400 different varieties of hops. So you can engineer up anything you want
sure.
out of a beer. And then the next step is to go up into the IPAs. The India Pale Ales, which are the extreme hop end of it. And subcategories of that are endless of all the different sub-styles of IPA that are out there.
Right. And most of the microbrewers out there fancy themselves with their IPA. And why is that? I mean,
well, sadly,
none of them talk about their malt-forward stuff. Everybody wants to talk about, you got to try my IPA.
Sadly, the world loves acronyms.
Sure.
And IPA is the one thing that most people remember when they
about
talk
beer.
About microbeer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's one of those IPAs because it's so different
right.
than the others. I mean, we've been the stouts. Guinness has been with us forever.
Right.
I think this year's their 200th anniversary or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
So it's, it's fairly common, but IPAs were the new front, and that's a buzzword that people latch onto.
Right.
But there's so much you can do with it with the hops and really putting it in your face that everybody talks about it, and that becomes a thing.
Right.
And we have several pale ales and IPAs available at Schmoe's, and they are some of our biggest sellers.
Okay. And just because I think that for me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it was an acquired taste. Okay. When I was the Labatt guy and I drank a lot of Labatt's, right? It was my go-to. I had it in the house all the time. And I remember the first time I met Bobby, came over, I'm in my bar downstairs, and I open up my fridge and I got, 100 Labatt's and this little stash of stuff that people have left at my house called craft beer. And I was like, you don't want any of that. And he's like, that's exactly what I want, right? So there began the journey. But when I'm looking at, I'm back to the counter. I'm back to the window, okay? Give me the three or four styles that I'll see most. And then there's these things called IBUs and ABV, another acronym. And explain how those relate as I go up and down the
Well, when I'm bartending, one of the first things I ask people, there's kind of crosshairs that I use.
Okay.
Are you malty or hoppy kind mm-hmm. of person? That's going to give me one axis. The other one, light or dark.
Okay.
Because that's going to be the simplest terms that I can talk to somebody in.
Okay.
And when they tell me, I'm, maybe two-thirds hoppy, but I like the darks, I can direct them over into a beer that's going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
The little bit more educated consumer, you can start talking to them about yeasts. Are you strictly a lager guy? Are you a Pilsner style? Are you a stout? Are you ale, strict ales? Are you?
And the yeast impacts all of those varietals.
Oh, it very much contributes to them.
Okay.
It is really the three pieces that have to go together, the malt, the hops, and the yeast, to build the style. But when a consumer knows a little bit more about it, they're going to say, oh, I love Belgian beers.
Right.
Well, that's going to help the shopkeeper take you to the Belgian section. Or
right.
I'm into robust imported stouts or right. flavored stouts or, wheat beers with fruit in them.
Right.
Any information you can give them is very helpful. Now, the one I hate and most of us hate to hear is, oh, I drink everything. What do you recommend?
Yeah, right.
Well, like you said, my friends over at Siciliano's, They've got I think it's closer to 1,000 different beers in there.
Right. It's amazing.
Schmoes, I got 16 taps plus a couple extra things in the cooler. It is a big world. And, you know, if you force me to choose, being the beer engineer, I'm probably going to go to inventory and say, what do I got to move? the more information you can give me, you know, what was the last beer you drank that you really loved?
Right.
Associate it to something else, because a lot of us drink a lot of things and we know those things.
Right.
If you're going shopping to the store, you could tie in the food thing.
Right.
Hey, I'm grilling fish tonight. I got some slabs of salmon, or I'm frying fish.
Right.
Those are two different beers.
Right.
If I'm going to be cutting the prime rib, I'm thinking one thing. But if I'm just going to sear off a quick ribeye, that's a different game.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm going down the vegetarian path.
Bob's not here this week.
Oh.
Okay. So we're off the healthy January.
All right.
All right.
Every bit you can give in information is going to help that person, help you select the right beer.
Right.
And then you get a beer you're really going to enjoy. Now, a lot of the places like Siciliano's and the other markets around have these great opportunities to build your own six-pack.
Right.
And that can be a lot of fun.
That's huge, because here's the opposite side of that. I make a commitment to one of these and I buy six, and it might be $12-$13 in a store for a six-pack of microbrewed beer, but it's worth it.
You get into the big ones.
But you walk out of there with it, and if you crack it when you get home and you take that first couple sips and you're like, oh, that one's not working for me, that's how I got that little stash in the back of my fridge.
Yeah.
Right? Where now I can go to the retailers and they let me pick and choose and try.
Yeah, and you find something you like.
Six. Right.
Go back and get a whole six of it.
Right.
That's
so,
a great way to do it.
So in the next segment, I want to touch on the IBUs and the ABVs, because those are a couple more acronyms that I believe will help the average consumer find the right beer. It's a tool, right? It's not the end all, but it's a tool. And then I really want to talk about, which is something I know you're really, really good at, and that is pairing beer with food. I've watched you do this with restaurant chefs. I've watched you do it just out back on the patio at the brewery, and you're good at this. And I can tell you, it's just like wine, is if you put the right beer with the right food, you end up with a really cool experience.
It's just like putting the right seasoning on the right piece of meat.
Right. Because this is messing with your palate, it's messing with your taste buds, and you know, I believe truly that we see it first, we smell it second, and we taste it third. And you take a little bit of the visual out, but you still pour that in a glass. It's going to look cool. You can tell if it's cloudy, if it's clear, if it's dark, if it's light. That sets your mind up for something. Then you take a whiff of it, then you get the taste, and it's like, oh, I get this. So, Chaz, I'm challenging
ready.
You with the pairing with the food of the different styles. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, you can find us on Facebook at The Grilling Guys, or you can find Barbecue Bob as The Grilling Guy on Twitter. But reach out. Check us out. Our website is thegrillingguys.com. There's hundreds of recipes on there. And my co-host this week, Barbecue Bob, is out. My co-host is actually our webmaster as well, and that is Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery.
Yeah, if you guys miss any shows or you want to share it with your friends, we have a podcast link on there where we have every show the Grilling Guys have ever done. Some of those, when we listen to them, they're pretty funny.
Right.
Way back in the day.
Yeah, others of them you might not want to listen to, but you'll figure that out, right? That's up to you, but... Anyway, Chaz, thanks for joining us. You're just a wealth of knowledge, and I want to dive into that a little bit. A couple more acronyms, and then we're going to start pairing food and beer, all right? The acronyms are ABV and IBU. Relate those to us.
ABV is alcohol by volume.
Okay.
In the U.S., that's how everybody is required to label their beer and measure it, and report it, and everything. That... how much alcohol is in there? So, you know, a nice little session at 4%. You can have a couple more of those than maybe my hop knocker that brings in at 9.5%, or my barley wine that's way up at 14.5%. It doesn't sound like that big because we're talking percentages, but that is enough to put a big man down.
Well, in case in point, it's math. Okay, if I got a 4% beer, which we're back to my Labatt, and there might even be 3.2. Those lighter American, you know, those beers, if all of a sudden every 12 ounces I'm doubling the alcohol, if I've got a 6% beer, and in this craft beer world, that's not a big number.
That's 6%. Not. And it can catch up to you.
Right.
So when you're shopping, you know, you want to really be thinking about what you're doing. A beer that you're going to enjoy while you're working in the yard, maybe get the lawnmower out, the hedge trimmers, something like that. You want to stay down a little bit. And right. If you're watching the big game on TV you know you're going to go through a good number of them, you want to stay down there.
You don't want to sleep through the second half, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, there are some of those games.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, when you're pairing with a meal and you want something that's a little stronger because it's going to be in a big, big food, you know, something that's got, you know, some grease to it, you know, man
right.
food.
Right, yeah.
You know, like the prime rib you were talking, the bones, that was what
right.
had me going.
Right.
I want something with some big, strong flavors, some big, strong alcohol that's going to help cut that because alcohol is a solvent.
That's right. And
it's going to help with the palatability.
That prime rib is fatty. It's going to coat your palate, and that beer will clean that right off.
Now, the second one you ask about is IBUs. Those
right.
are international bitter units.
Okay.
That was a scale that was generated really at the beginning of the craft brew industry because everybody needed a way to quantify how bitter a beer was. And so there's calculations that we can do. And now if you have the expensive equipment, you can do testing to give it an IBU rating. And the higher the IBU, the more hoppy and bitter that beer is going to be.
Okay.
For example... you know, we're drinking right now our MI Hands Michigan Pale Ale.
Right.
MI for Michigan. We just decided we were going to make an all-Michigan. And when we did the calculations on it with the Cascade hops that are grown like 5 miles from the brewery, it came out to be about 52.
Okay.
And so 52 IBUs, that's pretty hoppy. Because your Labatt's you were talking about.
Right,
that's
Budweiser, Coors, whatever it is, yeah.
10. 12,
right.
Something down in that.
Right.
The ESB that we talked about, that's a wonderful 35.
Right.
You know, but we can go all the way up to my hop knocker at 136, blow
right.
your head off with hops.
Right. Yep. You're going to feel it right in the back of your throat, like at the base of your jaw is where it hits me the most when that big hoppy flavor comes in. Now, I am not a big fan of that, but many people are searching that out. And
well, paired with the right food, it
right.
can work for you.
Yes.
Now, one of the big things that we tell people is that not all hops taste the same.
Certainly.
Some are going to have the piney flavor. Some are going to have a fruity flavor. Some are going to have a very dry, earthy flavor. You can go to just raw bitterness, like the Magnums and things like that. There's all kinds of things that a beer engineer can do to build into these beers, and that also complements in with the food that you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to say India Pale Ales go great with Indian food.
Yeah.
Spicy food, a lot of hop acid, cuts that and acts as a solvent.
Okay.
And that helps with the burn on your mouth.
Right.
And things like that. But now if I'm going to roast, I mean, I'm going to roast off a nice roast. I got some vegetables in the bottom of the pan. I mean, like grandma does.
Right. Right.
Beautiful meal like that. I'm looking at an amber. I'm looking at maybe a nut brown if they got some aromatics.
So if I go on that scale, then my IBUs are down. I'm a little more malt forward, and it's the savory part of this.
You're dancing in the savory world. But if you're in the savory spicy world, you might want to jump up in the hops.
Right.
A little bit.
Yep.
A lighter food, you know, like we talk about grilling some salmon, because we all love to go out in the big lake and drag for some salmon.
Right.
You know, drink a few of those yellow fizzy beers while we're cruising around. But you put that on the grill, you're talking lemon and onion and light herbs and some of the nice old world olive oils on top of it or something. It's very light to the palate. You don't want a big beer on top of that just obliterating it. You have to parrot it so it comes very, very much as a companion to the meal, because you're not going to serve potato salad with salmon, right?
Right.
You serve a fresh salad.
Right.
Same theory.
Yep.
Potato salad goes great with a big old greasy burger.
Yeah.
You know, love that.
Yeah, so what goes, because that's one of my favorite foods, especially this time of year, I seek out on Saturdays, man, today, later today, I'm going to go somewhere where I can buy a burger and a bowl of chili. That is winter grub for me, man.
You know,
and
right in there, you're going to be in your stouts.
Right.
Big dark beer in the winter just seems comforting.
Right.
You know, and flavored stouts are a great way to go into it if you're going into the more exotic burgers.
Right.
You know, I had a Hawaiian burger a while back that they had grilled up a slice of pineapple, put it on top of that baby with a little bit of ham. The aioli that guy did was out of this world, and he had mixed in some stout with it.
Yep.
And we paired that up with a coconut stout. It was the bomb.
Wow, there you are. Pineapple, and ham, coconut. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I had tropics in the winter.
Right. You know what? It sounds like girly food, but I really think it's man food. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man. Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Hey. Brought to you by Street Power. Hey, baby, I got one right straight from the UP. No man shall ever loan out his Cromer.
Amen.
Stormy Cromer is a man's hat. It is sized for you, but one of the best gifts you can give at Christmas is a Cromer.
That's right.
Gave my little brother one. He hardly takes the thing off now.
Right. I tell you what, I got a great Cromer story real quick. I went out Wednesday morning. We got some snow where I'm at, and I had to snow blow my driveway before I went to work, right? I just don't like it getting all ruddy and crap, right? So I go and get ready for work. I get all dressed, ready, and I snap a Cromer on, and I put on my jacket, and I'm going to go snow blow. That thing was so stinking warm. I sweat my whole hat out. I had to go shower again. Man, they're very, very warm hats. But you're right, they're fit to you, so they snug down and ooh,
I wear a 7 3/4.
Right. Yeah, we got a big melon. I'm a 7.5 guy. But
you know, we get a Cromer every year on the USA Ice team, and the guys are wearing their new Cromers over in Bulgaria.
Right.
I'm wearing my one from Kazakhstan last year.
Yeah.
They are a very warm hat, but they are pure Michigan, and it makes you look like a proud sportsman.
Right. So, Chaz, let's dive into a couple more things on the grill here. What about a lot of people, chicken is their number one, right? They're going to barbecue chicken on their grill. You can do that year-round. If you've put your grill away, I'm clipping your man card. Get it back out, because let's talk what beer goes really well with chicken on the grill.
Well, you know, everybody says that everything tastes like chicken, because chicken's really a blank canvas.
Right.
It's a great protein out there that takes up a lot of flavors. So really, it's going to be, what did you do to the chicken? Are you rubbing it with just some herbs? Are you spicing it up? And it's going to be more with the seasoning that you put on the chicken. Now, personally, with the thighs, if I put an oil rub on it with some herbs and stuff like that, I'm headed for a Pilsner or a wheat beer.
Yep.
If I'm going to put the brown sugar, spices, and everything else on there and robust it up pretty spicy, I'm looking for a bigger beer.
Right.
Maybe a hoppy side of a IPA. you know, a little bit bigger IPA.
Right. Perfect. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some of these wonderful beers that Schmoes has, as well as we might dip our line a little bit into some ice fishing. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Satisfaction's been our aim since 59. Been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Welcome back. This is the Grilling Guys. Ryan just gave me the finger a little before I was ready to take it. But anyway, welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to bring this train to the station and finish out with Chaz, what's your favorite beer, brother? That's a stupid question, I know, but I'm going to throw it out at you.
It's the beer on the end of my arm.
Right, yeah. Within reach and cold? That's my favorite.
Not even necessarily cold, you know. As long as it's good and fresh and made in Michigan, that's where I'm going to be at.
So let's talk about that just real quick. What beers are served room temperature versus ones that you want really cold?
The only beer I know of that's served room temperature is barley wine.
Okay.
I mean, it's like red wine. It's big. You know, like even a port and stuff like that. You don't refrigerate those.
Right.
You break them out of the cellar, you bring it upstairs, and you let it warm up a little bit before you get to it. Because there's so many flavors, and cold masks flavor.
Right.
So that one brand we won't mention that has the can that changes color when it's so cold you can't taste the nasty stuff.
Right. Yeah.
That is really saying something about their flavor. Right. Whereas you get into a classic German-style beer, they're going to serve those in the mid-40s Fahrenheit. Then you're going to get into the English styles, and they all developed in cellars with very similar geology as we have here in Michigan. So your basement floor is going to be 52 to 54 degrees.
Right.
That's what they believe beer should be drank at. And if you drink beer at that temperature, you really find all the creativity, all the ingredients, all the passion that a brewer put into it when he engineered, or she engineered, that beer up and made it into that great creation for you to enjoy.
Right.
So by serving them super, super cold, or as I really hate, the frosty mug, because I saw the Titanic and the ship sank when it hit the iceberg.
Yeah.
You're masking flavor.
Right.
And stuff. So I enjoy a beer that, you know, I keep them super cold for, you know, storage. Then bring it out and let it sit around and warm up a little bit.
Right.
So I can experience the flavor.
Right. So, Chaz, we're going ice fishing after the show. This is going to be we're going to get out there and wet a line. Where are they biting, and what are you using for bait? Real quick, man.
Really, they're biting kind of rough because this up and down temperature has got them all screwed up.
Okay.
The ice is getting pretty safe. I mean, we're talking 4 or 5 inches around Grand Rapids, so big guys like us can still get
north
out
of
there.
Here, much better.
Yeah, we get up north. It's good. Right now, we're still on live bait. We're in a fairly small jig because they are so finicky right now. I've been working the outside edge of weed beds and really beating it like a bass drum, man. You got to really jig hard to attract those big ones out of the weeds to come out and hit that bait.
Right.
I am going to be at Hunt and Time Expo.
Oh,
this
you
afternoon.
Are. That's in Grand Rapids here, yep, at the Deltaplex, right?
Yeah. Both this afternoon and tomorrow Sunday, doing some ice fishing seminars. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about it there. So come on down, visit us. And
So if somebody wants to come to Schmoe's, where you at, baby?
We are at 2600 Patterson, next to the Patterson Ice Rink, just north of the airport, just north of 28th Street in Grand Rapids. But if you're up north, I got a location in Petoskey at 109 West Mitchell.
Right.
So that you can go in there. And that one's actually in conjunction with the Mancino's Pizza. So you can get a pizza or a grinder with your beer.
Not a bad thing.
If you're up there, say hi to Ryan and Sarah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming in and sitting in for Barbecue Bob. He was on a little assignment this week, but we really appreciate that. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.